Please turn to James chapter 5. And we want to base our lesson on verses 16, 17, and 18. James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This morning we studied from Romans chapter 11, and in the verses that we covered, the Apostle Paul referred to Elijah as he illustrated how God had not cast away his people. In these verses we just read, James referred to Elijah as he illustrated how prayer avails much. I think it's interesting that these two great men in the New Testament illustrated some important lessons with Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet from the Old Testament. But as you examine the Bible in general, you can't help but see that prayer is a special blessing and responsibility for God's people. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we read about some activities that were very important to the Christians, those people who are the first members of the Lord's church in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's the original congregation of the Lord's church in the city of Jerusalem. The members were devoted to prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. James 5 and verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And then 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is just a small sampling of the verses in the Bible that teach us to be devoted to prayer. Prayer is a special blessing for God's people, but we also need to keep in mind that prayer is a very important responsibility. God talks to us through his word. That's why it's very important for us to be good students of his word. But we talk to God through prayer. So as we think about communicating with God, he speaks to us through his word. We speak to him through prayer. The purpose for our lesson this evening is to present us a reminder that prayer avails much. I know this is something that we're aware of, but I can't help but think about what Peter wrote concerning the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, I know you know these things, but I'm going to remind you of them again anyway. I want you to remember them until the Lord comes back, is basically what he was saying. And he said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to remind you of these great principles. Well, we need to be reminded, I believe, on a regular basis, that prayer avails much. Yes, prayer is a very special blessing. It's also a responsibility. But prayer avails much. I'm concerned today about the attitude of many people toward prayer. Sometimes I will hear a reporter on the news give a report of some tragedy that has happened. And the reporter will sometimes say, our thoughts and our prayers are with these people. To me, that's a very special, pleasant thought. But you're probably aware of this, as I am, that there are a lot of people who make fun of that statement and who ridicule and blaspheme someone who would say, our thoughts and our prayers are with you. That upsets me. I have always been encouraged when I know that someone's praying for me. And that being the case, whenever I think of it and can remember myself, I like to let other people know that I'm praying on their behalf. I know that it encourages me. I think I've told you this before, but a number of years ago, we were visiting my parents in Jacksonville. My dad was still alive at the time. And we were facing some type of a difficulty. I don't even remember what it was. But I was talking to my dad, and I didn't want to put too much of a burden upon him because of his age and because of his health. So I sort of summed it up by saying, well, Daddy, I want you to pray for me. And he said some words I'll never forget. He said, son, I pray for you every day. What a blessing that was. I tell you, that just uplifted me, and I've remembered those words all these years. There have been other people who have made similar statements on my behalf over the years. It's very encouraging. Well, we need to understand that prayer avails much. That's the main lesson that James is teaching in these verses. And notice that he uses Elijah to illustrate his point. Paul, in Romans chapter 11, used Elijah to illustrate his point that God has not cast away his people. Well, James, the Lord's brother, illustrates his point that prayer avails much by referring to the great prophet Elijah. Well, the first point we need to make from these verses is that prayer is involved in spiritual healing. Keep in mind that this was written to Christians. This was written to people who had obeyed the gospel of Christ. They had been taught. They believed that Jesus is the Son of God. They repented of their sins. They confessed their faith in the Lord, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord in order to receive the forgiveness of their sins. They had been added to the Lord's church. But now, as James was writing this letter, he showed that prayer is involved in spiritual healing. Now, one reason why I emphasized what I just did was that I become concerned when I hear some evangelists get on television and call upon people to offer a simple prayer. And their teaching is that when you pray the sinner's prayer, you are saved. Well, I don't find that in the Bible. So when James shows us that prayer is involved in spiritual healing, he's talking about Christians receiving spiritual healing. He's not talking about receiving salvation through prayer. Well, let's notice that spiritual healing for Christians involves confessing faults one to another. It's unfortunate, but that particular statement's been abused and misused and misunderstood for years. There are some who claim that we need to go to an individual who might be a member of the clergy or some priest, and we need to confess faults to him. That's not the case. This is talking about Christians confessing faults to one another. For example, if I commit a trespass against Gary, I'm obligated to go and confess it to him and ask for his forgiveness. That's what James is talking about. Well, in order to receive spiritual healing, Christians are to confess their faults one to another. By the way, it can be helpful if we have something that's really troubling us to go to someone that we have confidence in. And the Bible teaches us to bear one another's burdens, doesn't it? I believe that's Galatians 6 and verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are cases when we can help someone else to carry a burden. However, when it comes to confessing a fault, it needs to be between the two people who are involved. And in my judgment, doesn't need to go any further. If things go further, quite often that leads to confusion and sometimes irreparable harm. So let's be sure that we understand what James is dealing with here. He's talking about Christians receiving spiritual healing. To receive that healing, part of it is to confess faults one to another. And then notice that James tells us to do something else. He said, pray for one another. Over the years, I've had opportunities to visit people who were having serious health difficulties, and with only one exception, whenever I have asked if someone would like for me to have a short prayer with them, the answer has been, oh yes. I remember one time, Teresa and I went to visit a man whose wife was a member of the church. He was not a member. I knew him, had been around him several times. He knew me. He was going to have heart surgery. And so we went to visit him to try to encourage him. And before we left, I asked if he would like for me to have a prayer with him. And I guess I caught him off guard. His response was, well, I guess it wouldn't hurt. Well, I had a very short prayer with him. His wife was there and she appreciated it. Well, I was there to try to encourage him. I don't know if it did or not, but I just thought that was an interesting response. There was one other occasion, I just remembered it. A little girl did not want me to offer a prayer on her behalf. Her grandmother was present in the hospital, and she was asking me to lead a prayer for the little girl, and she didn't want me to. But she was just an immature little girl. I hope she has grown up since and is looking at things in a different way. But I can tell you one thing, when people are ill, and I can speak from experience, prayer is very much appreciated. Is any among you afflicted? What's the answer? James says, let him pray. Well, it's a blessing to be able to clear things up between brethren when something comes up, to confess faults, and then to pray for one another. Spiritual healing is recognized, and then we can go on about our lives. A parallel passage is 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, both James and John talked about some responsibilities that we have when it comes to receiving spiritual healing. Now, an example of a Christian who receives spiritual healing that involved prayer is in Acts chapter 8. Let's turn to Acts 8 and read about a man named Simon. Now, Philip the evangelist was one of those forced to leave Jerusalem because of persecution. He went to Samaria, and there he preached Christ to the people. Many people became Christians. There happened to be a man in Samaria named Simon who was a sorcerer. He observed the miracles that Philip was performing, and he knew that Philip had been blessed with a tremendous power. Let's notice how he responded to Philip's teaching. Verse 13 says, Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So this man had been a sorcerer. Apparently he was pretty good, because the Bible says he bewitched many people in Samaria. They gave him credit for having some great power. But when he saw what Philip did, remember the apostles had laid hands on Philip when he was in Jerusalem, he was able to perform miracles himself. You see, that showed that preachers in the first century were preaching the truth, that their messages came from God. They reinforced their teaching with the miracles that they performed. Well, Simon became a Christian. Isn't that good news? It's unfortunate. He sinned. Look at verses 18 and 19. Now remember, Peter and John were sent from Jerusalem to Samaria. And there they laid hands on the people who had become Christians there and prayed on their behalf, gave them the Holy Spirit. Well, let's look at verses 18 and 19. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." Simon wanted to buy something with money that wasn't for sale. You see, the Lord had given the apostles this very special power. Simon wanted to buy it. It wasn't for sale. Now, Peter rebuked Simon. And as he rebuked Simon, he showed Simon how to receive spiritual healing. He needed it because he sinned. Let's continue at verse 20. But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Now, how did Simon respond? He requested prayer. Verse 24. Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." What happened with Simon illustrates the great lesson that James is teaching us in his letter about how Christians receive spiritual healing. Well, James continued in the verses that we're studying from his letter by showing how prayer avails much. Now, he first showed in the verse we just looked at that prayer is involved in spiritual healing for Christians. But we need to understand that prayer avails much. Let's go back to James chapter 5. In the latter part of verse 16, we see that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, we're emphasizing the fact that prayer avails much. That is, it accomplishes much. However, prayer accomplishes much when it is effectual. That means effective. Prayer accomplishes much when it is fervent. That is, from the heart. And prayer accomplishes much when it is offered by a righteous individual. Now, to further emphasize that, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and read a few verses, starting at verse 10. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it." Now notice verse 12 especially. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James emphasizes that particular point. He stated it very clearly, but then he gave an illustration. I tell you, there are a lot of similarities between the Lord's teaching and the writing of James. The Lord and his brother James were both very effective teachers. One reason why they were so effective is they were just plain spoken. But they also were great illustrators. Can't help but see the similarities between James and Jesus. Let's notice that James shows us in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 5 of his letter that Elijah's prayers illustrate how prayer avails much. Now, James first mentioned the fact that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was a great prophet. I love to study about it. But he was subject to the same matters that we face today. We pointed out this morning that he certainly was affected when Jezebel threatened to take his life. He became very discouraged, and it seemed that he thought that maybe God had cast him away. He thought he was the only faithful prophet left. Well, he was wrong. It was pointed out to him. After it was pointed out to him, he went on and did what God wanted him to do. But Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was a man just like we are. However, let's notice how God responded to his prayers. James tells us that God responded to Elijah's prayers by sending rain. Now let's look at a few verses from 1 Kings chapter 17. First Kings chapter 17. Verse 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, James tells us that Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. What was God's answer? It did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. However, look at 1 Kings 18 and verse 1. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Now let's notice how Elijah prayed. Go down to verse 41 of chapter 18. And let's read a few verses. Now this is after Elijah has challenged the prophets of Baal and he won a great victory. "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel." Remember that James is illustrating a point. His point is The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He's illustrating that point by referring to what happened with Elijah. Elijah served as a prophet during a difficult time. Ahab was the king of Israel. Jezebel was queen. All you have to do is say those two names and you can remember the sad condition of Israel at the time. It was when they were serving as the leaders of Israel that Elijah was called to be a prophet. He prayed that it wouldn't rain. God responded to that prayer by withholding rain for 3 years and 6 months. Then Elijah prayed that there would be rain, and there was a great rain. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James referred to Elijah to illustrate that particular point. Now let's consider how Jesus dealt with these same principles in his great Sermon on the Mount. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and read a few verses starting at verse 7. In his sermon, Jesus had much to say about prayer. He taught his followers how to pray, and then he pointed out some mistakes made by the religious people of his day that his followers are to avoid. Let's notice what he had to say in these verses about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. Matthew 7 and verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Good people, if there ever was a time when we need to be devoted to prayer, it is now. We need to pray on behalf of our country. We need to pray on behalf of our community. We need to pray on behalf of the congregation. We need to pray on behalf of those who are having difficulties with their health. You see, there are all kinds of things that we need to pray for. But let's keep in mind that prayer avails much. It's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus taught. And his brother James reinforced that principle in this great letter in the New Testament. So praying to God is a great privilege and a great blessing for his children. What we need to do is call upon him through effectual and fervent prayer when we're afflicted, as well as when we need spiritual healing.